Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's a subdued Friday afternoon here because although we had fantastic weather last week, it is a bit dreary here at the moment. Not good, and it's a bit chilly. I've got my Under Armour stuff on for the winter, so it's you can tell it's bad. Joining me to discuss all of the Apple news there isn't much of. The usual suspects and a fantastic bunch. Cal, how the bloody hell are you, mate? What have you been up to?
Nothing much, unfortunately. I'm well, as I hope all of you listening and everyone here is. But just kind of ticking over and hoping we can get back to work sooner rather than later.
Any anticipated plans on that?
We're going to have another chat about it on Monday, but we're hoping it's going to be sooner rather than later. But nothing definite yet, unfortunately. So
I need you to have a look at my phone, and I need you to have a look at Bryony's phone as well, mate. It's getting rather desperate.
As soon as we can, we will.
Good man, definitely. Thank you. And Jeffrey, how the devil are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be here with you and everyone else.
And safe. Boulder Big Cat report, please.
The pack of three is still roaming around. So when you do your daily walks, continue to look up because they might be in the trees looking down on you as a snack. We're having to keep an eye out for bears now. And there's a contingent of people that are confusing the bobcats that have started roaming around town. They're confusing those bobcats with mountain lion kittens because the bobcats are a lot smaller.
Yes.
So basically, I live in a wildlife preserve now.
Good. On the inside of the cages.
Parking spaces. Yes.
This is the way of the future.
Bad luck, mate. Welcome to the new Boulder.
Well, house prices should go down.
You would think.
You can maybe afford a place by the end of the next week.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Next to him, how are...
Hello.
Am I back? Yeah, there we go. How are you? Haven't been on the Mac Show for ages. We missed you.
No, I haven't. Haven't been able to make it, but I have been able to make it this week. So
awesome.
Thanks for having me back.
And you're having a party later on Zoom, is it, or Skype? Or...
Yes. Yeah, it's one of my aunt's birthdays is today. Since we can't be with her, we thought we'd
Are you going to put some fancy glad rags on and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, right? I've got to dress up. So that'd be fun.
That's all right. That's all right. Have you been well?
I have been. I've been very well. Just chilling, relaxing, not doing much. Yeah.
Anymore. Good. Nothing wrong with that. Drinking too much? Or don't you drink?
I do drink, but funny enough, I haven't actually.
Oh, God. That's been the bane of my
existence. I need to start.
I put a stone on just because I drink.
Well, I'll start
every
day. On tonight, so hey.
Oh, hell. It's not good. It's just like, too early for a beer? No. Nothing. You just look at the clock and it's 9:05 in the morning.
Yeah. One now, sir.
Good luck. Well, yeah, but it's 4:00, 4:30. It's Friday afternoon. It's Mac Show time, so that's allowed.
But thank you.
9:00 on a Monday. Jeez. Next to her, Doc.
Aloha.
Oh, mate, look at him with his slick call-outs and lower thirds.
Is it too early for me to drink?
Yeah, you go for it, mate. 5 a.m. is good for anyone. I thought probably you haven't stopped.
I haven't stopped, to be honest with you. But, yeah, this has been it's been a thing, but I've tried to use the time wisely and, you know, get some skill up and do some various other things. So I'm making the best of it. I don't have any mountain lions to cruise in my neighborhood, but I think the most challenging part for us is the weather is absolutely gorgeous. Now, it always is kind of gorgeous, but it's been stupid gorgeous. And it's like, you can't come out here. So it's been absolutely...
If you got like a balcony, you can go on.
Yeah. We call it Lanai here, but yes, the same thing. And last night the sky was clear, so I had this amazing view of Venus. And it was funny because like two of my friends called me and go, dude, what is that in the sky? Like, why is it so bright? And I'm like, man, you saw like one Pentagon UFO video, you're freaking out. It's Venus. He goes, well, how come it's never that clear? And I'm, well, because the whole world is at home, so the sky has cleared up.
Yeah.
You know, and we normally have relatively beautiful skies, but you even can see it here. You know, like in LA, you can see the mountains now, which you couldn't before. But it's even made it all the way to here. It's so clear. Venus is sparkling in the sky at night right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. The thing is, right now I'd love to go up to the Long Mynd, which is out at in Shropshire, that kind of way, because you get some stunning skies up there. You can see the Milky Way and all the dust clouds in the Milky Way and that kind of stuff with the naked eye. But we're not supposed to go out, so I don't know if I could just sneak up whether anyone would find me or whether it's probably blocked off and that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it would be a nice time to get some asteroid. But over here, that's a $5,000 fine. And if you don't have mass, you can tack on another three. So I got much better things I'd rather spend the eight grand on than a ticket.
Yeah, too right, mate. Too right. The week in Apple Tech is going to start with an email, because we've had an email question again, following on from the trend of last week. Yeah. We started a thing off here. It's from Batwench. And I won't say where she works, and I won't say a couple of things that are in here. So she's put, due to remote working, we're being asked to use a secure ecosystem. The guidance document sent out from work states that in order to share certain information due to its security level, the device that is running on it must have a current and up-to-date antivirus security solution such as Windows Defender. One of my work colleagues is using an iPad to access staff as they currently don't have a working computer. I also have another colleague who does own a home PC, but doesn't have a home PC, but just an iPad, and they're refusing to use it at the place that they're supposed to go, the portal they're supposed to go, as it has no antivirus running on the device. I've tried to explain that, as from my research has done, there's been no known viruses for the device, and that since, unless you have a jailbroken it, trust me, unless they prevented, they're not that tech savvy. They can only download apps from the App Store, and each application is checked for malicious code. So, has there been a known virus? And two, do they actually need one, an antivirus app that is? I've asked the person who prepared the guidance document for clarification, as I think the letter versus the spirit of the law thing, and they just don't want to. Change and new stuff is that sort of thing. Thanks, Batwinch. So I'm going to say there's no viruses because they're sandboxed, aren't they? All apps are sandboxed in the iOS store.
You can technically have a virus on iOS. However, the social engineering you would have to go through to get someone to install it would involve having them do a side load, you know, like where you set up a the way a lot of companies can set up their own system for installing apps outside of the App Store. And that's a legit thing to be able to do. But if you're downloading something, or you go to a website and says, hey, we have this antivirus app or whatever that's actually a Trojan horse, to install it, you have to go through multiple steps. And so it's not something you could do by accident. And then, of course, the other way would be if someone has physical access to your phone, which would be the same if someone has physical access to your computer. There's more you can do. But practically speaking, no. There's no viruses for iOS, and getting one installed would be very difficult. And if you look on the App Store, you can find a lot of antivirus apps for iOS. But I have yet to have anyone explain to me why I should have one on my iPhone or iPads.
I was going to say I can hear you, but they're saying in the chat room they can't hear you.
Yeah, I was literally just about to say that. Yeah, we can all hear you. Well, I can hear you.
No, chat room still not got me. What the hell's going on? I've just used this a few minutes ago, and it was fine. Absolutely fine. What the
f- We even got a compliment. Fuck is going-
Maybe there's a virus on your iPhone, and that caused it.
Right. Am I back? Yes, I'm back now. There we go. I've got wobble on the wobble meter. So, Jeff, make sure you keep the recording then, eh?
I will keep the recording.
Bloody hell. But I mean, as I said, I thought all iOS devices were sandboxed, so that meant that they can't put code in the app because the app won't be able to talk to any of the other apps, and it can't access any core information.
Yeah, sandboxing does a lot to protect you, but if someone has found a way to compromise your device, or like if you've jailbroken your device, then you're changing the level of security. Excuse me. And so considering there are ways to have apps talk to each other and talk to the system, if someone found an exploit that Apple hasn't patched yet, conceivably you could have a situation where someone gets you to jump through all the hoops to install another application on your iPhone that has malware in it, and then that malware accesses something through the system level.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult for them to fall foul to anything.
But it would be very difficult.
Getting back to Batwinch's question, we've got to say, due to remote working, we're being asked to use a secure ecosystem. That ecosystem is not going to be compromised by someone who has got very little idea just using probably mainstream apps from the iOS store. The risk is so small that it is equivalent to zero.
Right. Yes.
Well, the secure ecosystem was definitely not Windows. Of all the things that are out there, the last of those options would be the one that is the most attacked, which I find weird, right? Like, if there was that the case, and say, okay, maybe all Linux devices or, you know, some other things, but the one that gets the most attacks, the one that requires the most security fighting would be Windows. And I mean, that's not a knock at Windows. I mean, that was due to its originality, not originality, but you know what I mean? Being like the forward leader for so long, let's put it that way. So yeah, it's funny the bozacity that these guys come up with when they come up with things like that, because that used to be the excuse for, you know, the estate agents. Here, we couldn't use Macs, and we had one of the largest companies right above the Apple store where I worked. And we're talking a company with like 300-400 agents, and they used to all come down and be like, why can't we do this on our Macs? Because we don't have to fight the antivirus, but at work, it's such a trouble. And we ended up having a dive through Citrix, which was adding a layer of hole instead of taking it away, you know, dialing in through Citrix. So yeah, it's a pretty weird concept if you ask.
Yeah, I think it's just utter bollocks. There you go. I said it.
That's the official BTN answer to the question.
Yeah, total bollocks to suggest that you actually do need to use anything at all as an antivirus. It's just not
gonna happen. Dude, that would make a really good shirt. You know, for our listeners and stuff, BTN, utter bollocks. That would be just an awesome shirt.
Well, that's kind of what we do, yeah.
Yeah, people can, you know, buy the shirt in a merch store, and we can use that to get you in some more beer.
Yeah.
That sounds like a beautiful thing.
Oracle sorted anyway.
I was kind of hoping that was going to last longer because there's no freaking news.
I have one that...
Save us, Doc.
It might be pure conjecture, but I didn't... In fact, the challenge is I didn't have a chance to listen to Renee's talk with Justine. Justine Nazera, how do you say her name? There is a humming around that we might see Final Cut Pro for the iPad Pro. And that's pretty intriguing because, well, why? Because LumaForge is amazing. Like, it's really strange, and I find myself coughing every time I think of it, but I do it a lot because I just happen to be, you know, busy or sitting around waiting for the many appointments I have to take my parents to. And I use that time to do, you know, a lot of basic editing with the LumaForge. But LumaForge has gotten better since Steve and I raved about it like a year and a half ago. And it's not even basic editing anymore. You can do pretty medium level editing on an iPad, and we're talking 4K footage in a 9. I mean, it's quite impressive. So with that and Adobe Premiere Rush being also pretty handy on a device, and a lot more people, I think what they'll use it for, if they do come around with it, is they'll use it like the iPod was back in the day. They use it as a gateway drug. You know, once you get in it, you start playing around with it with your iPad, and then you fall in love with it and then want to jump over and get a stronger computer, better. Because there's people that just don't edit video right now.
Are you talking about LumaFusion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
LumaFusion is... What, LumaForge is that expensive machine. Sorry. I always mix the two up and they're not even related.
So I can't, I've just, so on what platform are you talking about, your LumaForge?
On iPad.
On iPad, because I've just gone into the App Store and I can't find anything other than LumaFusion.
LumaForge is...
Jellybean. It's a big...
Yes, thank you. Jellyfish. Server.
Jellyfish, yeah, sorry. And I mixed the two up and I don't think they're related, honestly, but the names are...
They're not.
They're too similar.
Yeah, LumaFusion.
Yeah, so LumaFusion is the iPad one. LumaForge is like the $20,000 Final Cut server that four guys can edit live for up to 8K.
I'm a LumaFusion fan too, Doc. Now, the video editing that I do isn't nearly as involved as what you're doing, which may account for why when I need to do any video editing, my first choice is to go to my iPad Pro and do it in LumaFusion as opposed to doing it on my Mac.
Yeah, it's incredible. You laugh because it sounds, and I did for the law, I ignored it for like the first year because it sounded goofy. Like, really, you can't do anything on your iPad. But the iPad processor is amazing.
Well, I think I've suffered though because of the fact that I had a go at using iMovie on the iPad when it came out. And when the iPad Pro came out, I started having a go with iMovie. And I haven't got away from the fact that actually iMovie is a horrific editing program. I hate it. With every sinew of my body, I loathe it. So I've looked at every other editing option on that as being probably the same, unfairly.
No, and that was my exact experience. You're in 108%. That was my exact experience because iMovie was so disgusting. And then... they hammered the nail further when Clips came out. So I was like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, but I ended up having to use it for something. I wanted to just do basic filtering while I was on the plane so that I could come back and edit something really quickly. And I was like, ooh, hey now. And it's pretty, I mean, you were talking LUTs. You can do LUTs on an iPad. Like, are you joking me? That's incredible.
Oh, LUTs is easy, man. That's not... If you tell me you could do color correction on iPad, I'd be more impressed.
Oh, well, yeah, kind of you can, because the iPad display is pretty gorgeous. Now, I wouldn't call it reference, but it will get you to good enough that once you get into your computer,
as long
to
your balance, if you're doing color correction, you really, your primary aim is to balance the two pieces of footage to each other before you apply your LUT. So
you can do that. You can do that.
Then it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, you can do that. You can get your footage looking really good. The only thing I use LUTs for is I shoot flat, so I use a corrective LUT to get Rec 709 from BT 2020 because the world is in Rec 709, but a lot of the cameras are shooting in BT 2020. So that's what I basically use it for, not the swanky, like, oh, Instagram filter LUTs. I don't like those. I think those are dumb.
Yeah, now we had this we had a question on this on the photo show the other week about LUTs, and the one thing I said to him is, most LUTs are written for the piece of footage that's selling them. That's the trouble. Some guy gets a piece of footage, he writes a LUT that makes that piece of footage look good, then he sells the LUT to you, and then you go, mine doesn't look like that. No.
Yes, I didn't even thought about that, but that's true, because all the guys on YouTube like, oh, buy my LUT pack.
Exactly.
Like, no, I have color wheels. I can do the same thing you did for nothing.
Exactly. Do it for yourself. Don't buy anyone's LUT pack. Not good enough. If Final Cut was going to come to the iPad, there'd have to be a free trial. There'd have to be a free trial.
Well, you know what they're doing right now, right?
Well, I know they're doing, like, you can have it free for 90 days at the moment, can't you?
Yeah, that's an incredible trial for a program of that level. And
oh, yeah,
I wonder if that's going to get more guys to lengthen their 7 and 14-day trials. I was always like, 7 and 14 days, unless it's a unitasker utility, 7 and 14 days is not enough days for me to dig into a software long enough to know how much I love it. When it's a unitasker utility, say, like, you know, rename a bunch of stuff, you can figure that out sort of right away, but some of the other stuff requires a little bit of, you know, kicking around.
I got two things with this, because there's a bit of me's going, yeah, that's fair, you know, because some of the more complicated pieces of software, it is a hell of a job to dive around in it. But actually, if I actually think logically about Final Cut, I probably, after I've corrected levels, maybe do a bit of time chain, slow something down, speed something up, chop and edit, and then balance the audio using Levelator, that's kind of it. That's 90% of what I do with it anyway. You know, you do mundane tasks with a lot of these things. You know, Photoshop. I've got to the stage now, I've been doing it for a long time. So when I tend to shoot stuff, I tend to shoot stuff without the need to then do much in post. So I open it in Photoshop, I have a look at it. Yeah, it's fine. Maybe a bit of levels change. Then I'll just put some sharpening on it, depending on where it's going. Save and close. That's my entire workflow in Photoshop for 90% of the photos I take.
Do you find yourself in Photoshop? See, you made me say it. Do you find yourself in Final Cut editing in proxy, or do you edit in the real deal?
The real deal. And I also, I start making, every time now I do a job, I dump all the footage in a folder and I make a new library for that folder on the drive, and then that's backed up across the mirrored drives. And then if I take the, so like today, I went out to a customer and they said, could we need a piece of footage? You've got to come out. I said, fine, no problem. So I went over and I just took the drive with me, and then the library folder's there and all the footage in the same folder. So it's, I can put it on any machine and edit it.
Yeah, so I definitely do the same with making the Glue library and keeping all the footage. But I also recently, maybe like 7 to 8 months ago, decided to go down the proxy train, because before it used to be quite a headache. But now it's not, and you'd be amazed at how much faster your machine moves in proxy mode. You just have to sit through that first effort of it transcoding everything. But once it transcodes everything, I put everything in proxy mode, I fly through my edits now. It's super, super quick. And I have a 5K iMac, you know, with 64 gigs, so it was already fast anyway. But especially because I edit a lot in 4K. Doing the proxy move first and then chop it all together, and it just flicked a little switch, proxy, do original, render. Oh, it's quite the amazing treat. And the one thing that I would add to the workflow that Jeff and I talk about all the time, but you just got to try it once. At the end, save your file, audio only, send that audio only file to Alphonic and say, Alphonic, just check it for me. Because even if you think you got it right, it will get that last little bit of hum and rumble out. It will level everything perfectly, and it'll spit it right back out to you, and you can download the large wave format. I take that single file in, mute everything on the timeline, lock it to the head, and then spit it out. And it's, Shea Magnum.
Yes, Alphonic is a beautiful thing.
I wish the app that you can put on your device actually worked better, because it doesn't, because it's Java and it seems like it was written when Java was still coffee beans. But that app, it's amazing, and I don't know why they don't have a better working version that I don't have to send to the server somewhere, but I'll take it, because it's magic and it's cheap. If you only do it occasionally like what you're doing, it's free. I paid him $11 a month because I spit out enough, you know, YouTube and podcast content that I let them do the final touch. And I've tried everything from Ozone, which is a fantastic, by the way, Isotope, but Ozone's $800. So that's like 10 years of Alphonics.
I'll have to go and have a play.
Yeah, Alphonic is the bomb.
It would change your life.
Steady on. It's just an application.
Yeah, some apps are like that though. I swear to you. It's so weird because it's not very publicized. But for the people that know about it, they will put their life on it.
So Microsoft is testing iPadOS multi-window support for Word and PowerPoint. And I saw this story and thought to myself, that's probably one thing that the iPad has really got to get good at and slick at now is multi-screen, multi-window support. Because otherwise, if it's really standing itself up and saying, right, here's your next computer, it's got to be able to do that. And there's got to be dragging, there's got to be switching between windows dead easy, a lot better than it currently does.
I agree. Yeah. And but I think the other big part of this story is, wait a second, Microsoft wasn't offering multi-window support on iPad yet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I bet that's a bag of hurt, to be honest. Because if you're dragging content in particularly to dot Word docs and that kind of stuff, it's especially PowerPoint, where you want to show company logos and you want to draw in charts and stats and spreadsheets, then, yeah, that would be a horrific experience.
I was going to say with the kind of last story as well, you know, all these little changes are coming because I think it is really going to start to move towards, you know, your iPad becoming, you know, more of a laptop than an iPad, you know, especially with the mouse, with the trackpad and keyboard that's come out with it as well. So I think it's just a kind of natural extension of the way Apple are trying to move with the kind of new iPads and having keyboards and trackpads with them. So.
Do you think that'll just be for the Pro though, or would they look to put it across all iPad devices?
I think it'll just be for the Pro, to be honest. I think they'll keep the Pro at that level and then keep the iPad as an iPad for kind of, you know, more kind of lower end usage, and then obviously because they still want to keep having the MacBooks there as well for people. So yeah, but it is interesting the way it's going.
Don't you? You're never going to manage that on a small screen format, so I think you've got to go to 11 or plus.
I can see them popping in the keyboard and trackpad, though, for every iPad.
Yeah. I did get a chance to play with that $350 thing. Jerome bought one, and I, you know, when it first came out, I was like, this is just silly. The build quality is incredible. Like, those keys are nice, and the way that it attaches and floats and opens and bends, like, it's actually pretty nice. It's kind of heavy, so I don't know about the guys that like to travel light with it, but its overall use, that new keyboard case, is actually pretty incredible. It's still kind of too expensive, so, you know, we'll kind of wait for Logitech or somebody else to do their version of it, you know, because I don't put that much love into my iPad to buy that thing. But if that's your computer, if you're replacing the computer, the trackpad and keyboard instrument implementation on the new Apple Magic case, whatever the heck they call it, it's actually pretty gorgeous.
You know, I have been lusting over that through my screen because, of course, I can't see one in person. Unless I buy one. And since there's nowhere for me to go to take my iPad and work, there's no value in the new keyboard for me.
Right now,
Right now. But once I can go in and work other places again, man, I use my iPad Pro a lot. And I'm thinking that would be a really nice upgrade without having to replace my iPad. The smart cover that I have, smart keyboard cover that I have, I mean, it's holding up well, but man, that thing has had a lot of typing on it. So I'm kind of thinking that even though it's a little pricey, I'll end up getting one at some point.
Yeah,
you could have a go the Logitech one first and just think, well, there's $100 in my pocket.
You know, I have tried the Logitech keyboards before.
Yeah, he hates Logitech.
And I just, well, I love them. So I mean, I love the company and I'm glad they make great products, but they just, it doesn't work for me. It's, you know, it's like ASIC shoes are great and yet I can't wear them because they're just not comfortable for me. And I think it's the same with the Logitech keyboards. They're great, just not for me.
That's funny, because I love Logitech keyboards, and so does you. And it's funny that this comes up, and Jeff's face always cringes. Because, that Logitech one's $150, brother.
Yeah. What's the one that makes it like a total clamshell? Is that the Bridge keyboard?
Oh, yeah, Bridge is beautiful.
Bridge makes some fantastic
I like their stuff. They make really nice stuff.
Did Bridge come up with something new? Let me check real quick. BRYBGE.
So I just want to point out here that Bob Beach, who, and if you go back about 3 weeks, you'll hear Bob's rants, me reading them out in the chat room about the price of this thing. And he's just typed in, I succumbed, my magic keyboard is on its way.
Yo.
Pussy boy. You absolute lightweight pussy boy.
Bob, I'm looking forward to hearing your take on the keyboard.
You better write us a review, Bob. Yeah, that we can post up. Windrider got the new SE as well this week, and I said to him, get me a review, mate. And he took a picture with it, which is in our Slack room. And the picture's all right. It's a little bit washed out. It lacks a little bit of depth, but the clarity on it is superb. It's excellent. Oh, right. Awesome. Doc's showing the clam keyboard on his...
hold on. Let me get... So, yeah, this is... they're coming out with their pro version for the 12.9, and it's $229.
Does that have function keys on it?
Bruh, look at that. I can't zoom that in. Let me see.
Oh, my arms just stood up.
Your arms? Whoa. Yo.
In a good way.
Okay. Maybe arm hair, but your arms itself standing up is a little weird.
Arm hair. Sorry. Okay, I got so excited that my words stopped working.
So it has
on,
this...
man. Steady on. You're about 30 seconds away from being Renny Rich here.
you just broke my concentration. So it looks like that top row equals the media row. They don't have F's on them, but I'm sure that they do equal F's somewhere. If I can see an F button to press,
it'll just be brightness control, won't it? And volume. And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lock. There's a home button.
Might be true F.
I see brightness and things of that nature.
Get your arm air down, Jeff.
Yeah. If I can turn this into regular function keys so that...
Well, I'm sure there's some sort of remapping.
They can be controls, like system controls and function keys. That's pretty cool.
Oh, here's the one right here. This one gets me. The adjustable backlit keys. Because I happen to like backlit keys, except for when you're flying on a plane and your keyboard is lighting up and the people in the next three rows are looking at you like, jackass, turn that off.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'm with you.
Not bad. $229 puts it at $130 savings against. But
exactly.
if you ask my boy Ewan over here, this is where you at, my friend. $149. Look at the savings. It even comes in Colorado gray.
Yes, it does.
Dude, for $200 in my pocket, I'd type on marshmallows for that.
Right? Look at that, Jeff. It's calling you. It says we design with a single piece of aluminium with Jeff Gamet in mind.
No, it's just a beautiful thing.
Designed with Jeff Gamet in mind. We have a title. Excellent. Someone
I have an open mind. Email me that. And I would be totally willing to try out the Logitech keyboard because just because I've had experiences where it just didn't do it for me in the past, it doesn't mean that current designs would disappoint me.
So you know what we're going to do, right, Ewan? We're going to send this section to Logitech and have them drop one in the mail for Jeff. And then watch the next Text Expander webinar will be completely from the iPad with Text Expander Mobile and Logitech keyboard brought to you by.
No, there's the interesting thing, because I'm sure the Apple keyboard is only compatible with the newest model of iPad, isn't it?
No, because it works iPad on mine.
And it works on any of them.
Yeah. Any of the ones that have the four dots on the back.
Yeah, so it's the current and previous model iPad Pro.
Right.
Yeah, because it has to have the right edge shape as well.
Yeah. One without the home, but I believe it's compatible with.
Is the is the Logitech keyboard a wider spectrum of compatibility? Because is it only direct connection or is it Bluetooth as well as?
No, I think it has to fit inside this case.
So no, I know there's a fit issue, I get that. But what I'm saying is, in terms of using a keyboard with it, if it's a nice keyboard, is there a compatibility with that?
I'm checking if you can do it via Bluetooth. I don't see
it. Bob says it works with the 2018 model as well. And he's also undertaken to write a review for the BTN site. Good man.
That's wonderful.
Good.
Nice.
Apple is to make a change to iOS so that it's easier to unlock your iPhone with the passcode because you've got a mask on.
Yeah, my passcode changing has failed so many times when when I have my mask on and I'm typing, and what happens is your first two numbers, because I'm pretty quick with the passcode, the first two numbers never register. So I always
got
to, like,
yeah, now I've got that.
So it's not just me.
My face, I need to tell Callum this, my face ID stopped working, so I need you to have a look at my phone. And sooner rather than later.
Look at your face,
good.
Bro.
Yeah, no, for sooner would be better rather than later at the moment, because it's really pissing me off that every time I want to open it, I've got to tap the code in. And I have to tap the code in twice because for some reason it doesn't register the first digit, but I don't know until I'm at the end. And then I'm looking and it's like, oh, what's the last digit? Oh, I'll put the last digit in. And it goes, uh-uh. Two goes left. And then it does register.
Yeah, I definitely have locked my phone temporarily because of trying to get it in real quick while I have my mask on. And the worst case scenario was I was at the grocery store, and of course the lines are dumb, and I'm trying to Apple Pay. So luckily I have my watch on so I can pay with my watch. But yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
That's why I asked last week if you guys had tried doing the half mask thing.
No. Doc, here's my Apple Pay thing for the times I have to go in the store. I always use my watch and never my phone because I've been picking up things in the store, and I know I'm going to need to use my phone at some point, probably before I get back home and can really clean everything. So I do all the paying with the Apple Watch, so I'm touching just that. And now I only have one technology device that I have to completely clean off when I get back home.
I have this... one of the local whiskey breweries here, they made like 90% alcohol by just kept boiling it and boiling it and boiling it. So I have a thing of alcohol in my truck. The funny part is it does have a slight tint of whiskey smell to it still, like it's the beautiful. Corn mash.
See, and then so like a whiskey.
It, no, it smells fantastic. But, you know, when they clean the hands and stuff, if you've ever smelled pure whiskey corn mash, it actually has a gorgeous smell to it if you're into that type of thing. Or even beer mash smells great. So I'm always like, I sprayed this. I got my hands clean, you know, clean the truck and the phone. I'm driving. I'm just waiting to get pulled over and be like, hey, you been drinking? Oh, it's the hand cleaner.
It's hand cleaner.
Now, yeah. we will definitely get your phone and whatnot in. It's just, unfortunately, we can't be open at the moment. It's very frustrating for us. So, yeah.
Hand sanitizer.
E-hand sanitizer.
Boys.
Yeah, there boys. We go. Sorry. Anyway, this is really cool because what these guys did, which I thought was kind of neat, was of course it won't focus now, A6400. They basically took a batch of whiskey they had ready to go, and rather than putting it in the barrel to age, they just boiled it over so they can make for the first responders, because these guys didn't have enough alcohol. So I was like, the whiskey person in me was sad. But it was a really great move, what they did in order to make a bunch. And then it kind of caught fire. So they're helping out the hospitals. But you go to the hospital, it smells like whiskey.
Cool.
Excellent.
What was the next story? I did have another story then. Oh, right. Yeah, they're all going on about this COVID-19 tracking experience. So Apple has laid groundwork for coronavirus exposure notifications on APIs in iOS 13.5. So this is basically Alice and Bob met each other for the first time and have a 10-minute conversation. Bob is positively diagnosed for COVID-19 and enters the test results in an app to the public health authority. So then anytime Bob goes near Alice, she gets a notification that he's got a little bell around his neck, effectively. Unclean. If I've read that right.
That's kind of funny.
Their iPhones exchange anonymous identifier beacons, which change frequently. With Bob's consent, his phone uploads the last 14 days of keys for his broadcast beacons to the cloud.
I kind of like that idea, because contact tracing is the key for the future, right? Just to make sure. It has a little creepiness to it, but...
Oh, you can't be doing this, man. This is Big Brother. This is shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking.
Thanks, Howard.
My understanding is that we're UK is probably not going to sign up to this, are they?
No, the UK wants, from what I understand, a centralized database.
Yeah, that's
which,
it.
Which then also would not be anonymized. Mm. So I look at what Apple and Google are doing, and I think big cousin versus big brother. Where big brother has a lot more information than big cousin does.
Mm. I really want either to happen. I think it sets a dangerous precedent going forward.
I just don't want it. It's like the 23andMe thing, you know. Everyone's going, oh, great, yeah, let's get a genetic test and I'll know if I'm half Viking or not. Or I've got how much Neanderthal I've had in me. And I just...
That must have been quite
that,
a
that
party.
That came out a bit different than it did in my head, because, I mean, it was a good night at the club and I had a bit of Neanderthal in me.
You and we're not just... judging.
So that explains where Wheatley's been?
I had some alcohol-induced Neanderthal. It's just like I'm never going to do a 23andMe, because when you tick yes, divulge my medical information, all of that 23andMe stuff, your prevalence to some vague genetic disease is all mapped and logged, and your insurers have access to it now.
Mm.
And you shouldn't be doing that.
And 23andMe. 23andMe and the other companies that are doing this, the way their agreement, their EULA works, they actually own the property rights to the information and to your genetic code.
Yeah, they'll use it anonymously,
admittedly. As they please.
Well, I think they do it anonymously, so I'll give them some credit with that, but... But no, the thing that bothers me is the fact that if you tick yes, then the insurers go straight to 23andMe and say, give us all the information on this guy if you've got any, because he's given us consent. Batwench has confessed to the fact she dated a few lads from Swansea, so she's probably a bit of Neanderthal in her.
Well.
Oh, dear.
Didn't in California they find a serial killer because the daughter did the 23andMe, but like she didn't know that the killer was her dad. I forgot which killer it was. It was kind of a high profile one. I was going to look it up real fast, but yeah. So that part of it is kind of cool, I guess. You know, being able to find some criminals based off of DNA.
Yes, but at the same time, having police go to companies like 23andMe and telling them, we want you to give us DNA information so we can match up potential suspects, is pretty creepy.
It was the Golden State Killer. Yeah, it was a kind of a
the
big
Golden
deal.
State Killer. Okay, yeah. Yep.
James D'Angelo. That was, I mean, that dude, he offed a bunch of peoples in the 70s and 80s and was still walking around 2 years ago. And then... somehow the daughter, who I guess came from some other crime he committed, she just happened to find out, and then the police found him and he got captured some 40 years later. So yeah, I mean, that's the catch 22, right? Because these kind of wins seem so good, but then the fact that they weren't supposed, that's when we first discovered they were giving your information to the police, because at first nobody knew that the police could acquire it. And then the 23andMe person said the person that gave it to the police was an accident. So they don't always do it. And I'm like, that's when it got a little fish.
Why do you guys always insist on giving really cool names to your serial killers? Because it just, you don't want to.
I don't know. I always thought that was dumb myself. And they give them the whole three names, you know, because the three names sounds more, I don't know, posh or whatever. But then later I was told by a person it's because there is actually the number one, newscaster in Las Vegas is actually named Sean A. Boyd exactly. So if I were to become the serial killer, in order not to confuse with him, they would say my entire name and not just, you know, Sean Boyd, because then, you know, you might think that dude was a serial killer, not me. Oh, did I just confess?
Okay. Well, you've got a good alibi based on the fact you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on an island.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's lucky.
Locked in the house with good weather.
Have you had a Hawaiian serial killer? No, because it's pretty, everyone knows everyone, so it's a tiny island, and it's just...
It wouldn't go very far. There has been a couple, like, unsolved cases of, you know, girls gone missing, but they're few and far between. And the last one, I believe I just got here, it had just happened, and that was some 35 years ago, and they still never solved that case. And then so the only thing that would, I guess, trigger those bells is we do get a lot of transients. We get the people that come and stay for a week and leave, like that time Don McAllister came here, but then I haven't seen him since, so...
Was there any girls went disappearing at the time that Don was on island? No.
And I was surprised.
He doesn't strike me. I've got to say right out of the bat, he doesn't strike me as the type. But then it's always the quiet ones, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, it is. Well, then the other case was maybe his wife would have killed him first. And then so she went back. So have you talked to him?
Yeah. Hawaii 5-0 never missed a killer. Well spotted. The Honolulu Strangler says Bronwyn's back in the chat room. Well done, Bronwyn, for coming back, mate. We've missed you. Glad you're back with us. Yeah, no, the Honolulu Strangler. Vicky Gail Purdy. So three names again, you see. Use of three names. Regina Sakamoto, Denise Hughes, Louise Medeiros, Linda Pesci.
So you did have a serial killer.
You have had one, yeah.
I lived here for almost 40 years. I never heard of it.
It's still alive. It's still at large.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's still at large. Yeah.
Oh, 85 to 86. I came here in 84. And I swear I never heard of it. But at that time,
So Bronwyn, between me and Bronwyn, we've solved the case of the Honolulu Strangler, mate.
It was me.
It was you. The time frame just totally fits, dude.
No, I was in the military doing maneuvers at that time.
So although, admittedly, we do need to know where the whereabouts of Atlee at that time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe I didn't know that. Never even heard of it.
Muller is demanding an alibi.
Yeah, I can show you exactly. You want to come with me to Kuwait?
The military's got an alibi for him.
I'll take you to the exact same spot and then leave you.
I'm kind of done. There's just like $18 million lawsuits for Apple breaking FaceTime. I just can't be arsed with it. I'm done. I'm knackered. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them to bits. We couldn't work without them. I've got a new project that I'm doing with a fellow photographer here in Birmingham, and we were spitballing some names for it. And straight away, I came out with one, and he's like, "I love that. Yeah, we need to get that." I'm like, "Done, mate." Straight on the website, onto TSO Host. Put in the offer code. Get 20% off. Bought a domain name, brilliant. Done and dusted, 10 minutes tops to get it all sorted. Web hosting, WordPress stuff, £12 a year the WordPress starts at with hosting, and you get 20% off that, but they've got 33% off at the moment for web and WordPress hosting, so that'll beat anything that we can do. So BTN20 is your offer code, clear your basket by 20%, and they will look after you. Make sure, please, people, you get out on the socials. Thanks at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech, because we disappear if we lose them. And also, I'm NMax. Callum's here giving us his support every week on the show, and he's fantastic. Goes in, fixes machines. Briny has got a problem with her battery not charging on a phone, which, you know, when you deprive an 11-year-old girl of a phone, I'm in deep pup. I need you open soon, my boy, so that you can fix my phone and hers. They're awesome. Anything with an Apple logo on it, they will fix it. I even talked to someone yesterday, and they said, "I've got a problem with my lens." I said, "Well, if you ring Callum up, Callum might have like a bit of inside information about how these things go together and might help you take it to pieces. You never know. Give him carte blanche. He might even try and fix it, because he'll have a go at pixel books and everything." So, we Callum, do we have any machines of the week? Are you still hanging on to some iMacs, or are you cleared those now?
Still got plenty of iMacs, so we haven't had any new stock in this week. But we do still have plenty of iMacs in. We do have a couple of MacBooks as well. So everything we have is on our website. So if you go to iMac Max and click refurbished, everything we've got there doesn't have the method to put the discount code in. But if you drop us an email, we can give you that with 5% off. So, brilliant. Everything we've got is there, so go and have a look, and if you've got any questions or anything, just let me know. I have had a couple of people from BTN query me on some stuff we've got, so
cool. Brilliant, good to know. Let me know when it happens. Right, Cal, what I want you to do then is take us through your cool thing.
Cal,
he's there. No, he's just
I've put it in the chat.
I'll edit later, don't worry.
Seamless. So my cool thing this week is called Epoch Cam, I think you pronounce it. And basically what it does, it turns your iPhone into a webcam. So kind of latching onto, I think, a cool thing Jeff did a couple of weeks ago where you could turn a surveillance camera into a webcam. They are very hard to get hold of webcams at the moment. I used it today, the free version, and it was very, very, very good, very clear. You can go and get a premium version on their... on the Mac side of their website, because obviously you need the client on both. And I think it's $8 and you get full HD or whatever your camera is on your iPhone or even Android phone you can use it on. It's very good. It works over Wi-Fi, or you can have a wired connection plugged in via your Lightning cable. I used it. It was really, really good, really clear. Not a lot of kind of lag between when you moved and when it kind of popped on your screen, even with Wi-Fi. So I was relatively impressed with it. And the free version was very good as well.
Excellent.
Good
pick. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
I have, actually, it's from SetApp. Oh. And it's an app called Permute. And what it is a file format converter, media format converter. And I use this a lot when I've done a bunch of voiceover recordings, because like if you watch the video for the new features in PDF Pen 12, the voiceover is me, and so I record all this stuff. But then the format that is being used for the audio files when it's being added to the video is not the format I actually recorded in. No problem. I just take all the files, I drop them on Permute, it converts them to what's needed, and it's done. And it works with images, and it works with video, and it converts between a ton of different formats. And I don't know what it costs regularly, because I've got SetApp, so I'm just using it from there.
You can sequence videos with it as well. Take two videos and sequence them.
Yeah. Awesome little tool. Incredibly versatile.
Very, very good. I'll be downloading that, because it's file conversions are a big thing.
Yep.
Howa, what do you have for us?
I've got a game, an old game. Just been playing around with Sonic the Hedgehog. Classic.
Oh my god, yeah.
Played a bit on iOS.
Yeah.
So it was quite fun, because before it was a matter of the controls was an issue, but now it's not so much of an issue. And I think they've also, if you've got Android phone, you can get it on Google Play as well. But that's what I've been doing this week.
Did you have a Sega Mega Drive?
We did. We had one for home. We had quite a lot of stuff at home, actually, thinking about it. Mom's probably got it in storage somewhere, so next time I'm down there, I'm going to have a look and see what sort of stuff we have.
Mine's up in the loft, but I haven't fired it up probably in 20 years, so whether it works or not, I don't know. But I used to love playing Sonic. If you can get the, because the thing is as well, you can get controller support now for this as well, can't you? So
yeah.
Beautiful. And it'll go across your devices. So awesome. Great pick, girl. Thank you. And Doc, give us a cool thing.
All right, I got a cool one for you. This here device that I'm going to show you is known as an Evo 4, okay? This is a really incredible $125 audio interface. And that sounds in crazy because it's about, let's say, 14 by 6 centimeters big. It's a 2-in, 2-out input thing. So right here, you can see I have my my XLR, two sides, but it's also an M4 connector, so you can stick quarter inch in. I got speakers out, USB-C. You got a great DI, so you can just plug your guitar in directly or keyboard, whatever you have. But here's the cool aspect of it. Now, I'm going to purposely screw up my levels for a second, and I'm going to show you how this cool feature fixes it. So one of the biggest problems with beginners is, actually even some pros, is setting your audio levels right so you get the proper amount of gain so it doesn't have to be fixed so much in post. So if I accidentally turn down my gain, I'm going to press the smart gain button, select my input, press smart gain again, and it will automatically calculate that perfect gain. Okay, so I'm going to come down, and then now you probably can't hear me very well. I actually need to press that first. You probably can't hear me very well.
I can't hear you at all now.
Well,
there's no point in talking, Doc, because we can't hear you.
It's trying now. There it is, and it's back. And so now it has the right gain, and so it's putting me at about negative 12 right here. So that's where you sort of want to record, is between like negative 18 and negative 9. And just by doing that, it automatically sets up. The other cool feature for such a low price device, the 48 volt inputs are separate, so you won't accidentally throw 48 volts at a mic that doesn't need it. So you can put them on separately. Normally in really small devices, phantom power comes on both sides and not the other. And it has some other cool features like built-in loopback, which is amazing for a device at this price. But for the guys that are creators, podcasters, even like Ewan, who has a real setup but then needs to do stuff at home every once in a while, $125 interface that's this feature rich, it almost doesn't exist. And this is brand spanking new. It just came out during NAMM 2020 and just started shipping like a week ago. So it's an Audient Evo 4, and Audient is really famous for, you know, sort of high-end, high-quality interfaces. And I say definitely give them a try. It's worth it. I give it a 4.5 out of 5 stars, and the only half off is because it's plastic, and I like metal interfaces because normally you're going to beat them up. One last thing for people like Jeff. It does work with the iPhone and iPad, but you have to power the camera connection kit because it does pull the, it doesn't have a separate power supply, which is great for traveling. But if you wanted to do voiceovers on the road, or maybe do a 2-person interview and you're going to meet the person at a cafe or something like that, you plug this into your iPad, open up GarageBand, you got 2 separate tracks. You can record your podcast out and about. You don't have to be stuck in the house with the mountain lion.
Connector on the back, micro USB or USB-C? The connector on the back of it, is it micro USB or USB-C, mate?
What was that?
The connector on the back of it, is it micro USB or USB-C?
What I did was I killed the computer audio, so I couldn't hear what you said.
So the connector on the back, is it micro USB or USB-C?
It's USB-C. But, you know, it's the fake USB-C because audio doesn't need the speed. It's actually USB 2.0 and a USB-C connector. I hate when people do that. It irritates the crap out of me. But it doesn't affect the functionality for audio because audio can do it.
I'm kicking Bob out of the chat room because he's just put an Amazon link in. £116 here if you'd like it. If you want to know where that link is to Amazon, then you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And you will be able to see exactly what Bob's put in and where to buy it for £116.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I looked for it on Amazon UK and I couldn't find it, so I'm glad you found it. But maybe just because I don't know how to spell things in UK, like color with the U.
That's pretty cheap, actually. Not bad at all.
Yeah, it'll come in handy for this whole time you were at home doing this the way you're doing it.
Well, I've got the Rode.
Yeah. Yes, you're back.
Well, you've got to get...
Yeah, I'm back now. So the thing is, it does this thing with, that it's just done on cue, thank you very much, where it just disappears and then it comes back. But it comes back to the Zoom meeting, but it doesn't come back to the audio for Wirecast, which is just a pain in the arse. So I think I'll probably be buying one of these because I think this is on its last legs. It's been a good servant, though. This has been all over the world with me.
That loopback feature would probably allow you to send part of the feed to Wirecast and the other feed to Zoom without having any issue, right?
Yeah, but I don't know why it does it, but it does. So there we go. So go to bridgetechnetwork.com/chat, navigate down. You'll see all of the cool things in there selected. My cool thing is something that I've been gobsmacked this year, actually, because there's been quite a few games that have popped up in Instagram. And you know when the games that come up, you look at them, you're like, oh, that's a bit crap. And I downloaded this one, Wudoku, and I'm addicted. I absolutely love it. It is a great game. It's riddled with ads and all that kind of stuff, but all you've got to do is turn your phone into airplane mode, and that's it. You can sit and play to your heart's content without a single ad in place at all. And it's hard. It's bloody hard. The stuff it throws at you as well, sometimes it doesn't throw you the right kind of stuff to get out. And it does stymie you a bit, which pisses me off. But getting over 100 was a challenge, and now I'm up to 890-odd. And that's the largest score I've had. It is hard work. Wudoku, Woodoku. And it's free in the App Store, or the iOS Store. Where can we get a hold of you, Cal?
Yeah, so you can get hold of us at imamax.com. Drop us an email at info@imamax. We're on all the usual socials. You can get hold of me on Twitter at @OraCallum. If you've got any questions, do get in touch with us. We're hoping that we'll be open within the next 2 weeks. I don't really want to put a timescale on it, but we are talking constantly.
I will gladly come and be a stooge punter with my two phones that need work.
Absolutely. Please do. I mean, it's just out of our hands at the moment, but as soon as we can go back, we will be. So.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I am over at textexpander.com. I am Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram. Next Tuesday, May 5th, is the Text Expander Advanced webinar.
Oh, cool.
So, so an hour of me showing you even more cool stuff that you can do with Text Expander. And so textexpander.com/webinar, and look for the advanced webinar. Just click the registration link and you'll see May 5th.
Cool. Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. BTN 2020, if you want to get 20% off Text Expander. And yes, that offer comes with a free personal trainer in the form of Jeff Gamet.
You know right where to find me.
Be still, those girls' beating hearts. Howa, where would you be? Partying on tonight in your gladdy rags.
Yeah, fun. And nice bottle of wine as well to go with that, I should think.
Too right, mate.
I've got to wait. I'll be on Twitter as Harry A. And you can also get me in the Slack room.
Excellent. You and I lost sound again. Yes, I know I did, but I'm back now, aren't I? I'm definitely showing wobble, so it's definitely in. And last, but by no means least, it's Doc. Where are you, buddy?
You can find me all over the place at DOCROCK, and of course on the YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/DocRock.
Look at you and your flashy lower thirds again, man.
I'm saying, dude, I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to sit down, we're going to get a beer, and I'm going to walk you through this, and I'm going to change your life.
Okay. I got time.
Yeah.
I got time. I just haven't got time when you've got a beer. You're going to have to start drinking early if you want to do it, that's all.
Jeff, I did sign up for the webinar. So if nothing else, I'll be there to harass you.
Awesome. I am looking forward to getting to spend more time with you.
Excellent.
Thank you, brother.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. And also you can follow my Instagram feed on at 12 Space Media on Instagram. Because it would be, wouldn't it? We'll see you again next week. We've got a photo show coming up. We've got a wedding photographer coming in to join us. So it should be fun. And we'll see you all later. Have a great weekend. And thanks for listening.